On this episode of Bantamelt, we review the action-packed special event finale of Kenobi.
Again, we're here, Rob. How you doing?
We are here.
The Milk Podcast. We're back, and I got to tell you, we're entering in another one of those sad moments in Star Wars world. Is the time between Star Wars content? It's a bummer, but we did just finish.
We are
completed with our, I guess you could say, season one of Obi-Wan.
Because we don't know if there's a season two or
not. I think it's pretty clear we're going to have a season two here, but we can talk all about that when we talk about the episode. But welcome. How you doing, Rob?
I am wonderful.
We are back.
School
year.
We're done.
You're going to Star Wars Land pretty soon.
Star Wars Land. Yes,
I want to get a lightsaber.
Okay.
Can you get me a lightsaber?
Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah.
I want to put it in my classroom. I wonder which one I should get.
All right. Well,
remind me before we go.
I will remind you, and I'll call you while we're there. We'll be there on Thursday, because apparently
Mace Windu
is pretty cool. But some people have said that, you know, sometimes we're out of stock of things.
Yeah, like the big ones, probably. Yeah. I don't know. Well, you'll have to tell me what they have when we get there.
Yeah. So
either way,
I'm very excited about that because when we booked our trip, we weren't able to book the Savvy's Workshop Build Your Own Lightsaber. But my amazing wife was able to book it yesterday or 2 days ago. So, ba-bam!
You have to book an appointment for that. I see.
They have a whole thing where there's like...
Have you done it before?
No. I haven't been to Galaxy's Edge yet.
Okay, so...
So this is all very exciting.
You gotta give us some live blogging from down
yes,
there.
I will definitely do that. So it's like five different parts of the lightsaber that they give you, like three or four different pieces
like
for
the
each part.
And like the
yeah, well, all part of the hilt and the crystal and the bottom and all this and blah blah blah.
And you can put it together yourself.
Yeah,
and
there's this actor who walks you through it and tells you how amazing the Force is, and then everybody turns their lightsabers on at the same time, and they all glow.
But if it didn't turn on, does that mean that you weren't chosen?
That means you're not one with the Force.
Sorry, get out.
You pay
no refunds.
Yeah, you still paid your $250, but you don't get to keep your lightsaber.
It's an authentic experience.
It is.
This is the same disappointment and shame a real youngling would feel.
Exactly.
If the Force rejected it.
Exactly, 100%. So I'm very excited about that. My son and I are going to do it together. We're not doing two separate lightsabers, but
you're
we're
going to build your own together.
Together, yes.
Oh, so it'll be like a father-son saber.
It will be.
That's nice.
It'll be.
You can pass it down, and then one day he can bury it in the sands of Tatooine.
Exactly. And all we need then will be a metal detector to find it 10 years later.
You know, if only Grievous could have held out for like another 40 years, all he would need is a metal detector and the planet of Tatooine, and he would have been the happiest.
Oh my goodness.
Part droid, part human.
Yes.
Ever.
He would have had
like
so many lightsabers.
I wonder. You got to wonder how many lightsabers are just hidden in the sands.
Are buried in Tatooine? Yes.
I mean, we've only met like a handful of Jedi,
and
already we know like all of their lightsabers are just scattered around Tatooine.
They're all buried in the sands of Tatooine.
I wonder what it is. Maybe there's like something in the Force that draws Jedi there to just like abandon it all.
I don't know. And the one thing, I was watching Ryan Airy's Screen Crush, and he also made a comment about how nobody sweats on Tatooine.
Yeah.
It's a desert planet with two suns.
And they're all nice and dry.
And they're all dry.
And meanwhile, the Tusken Raiders wear all this equipment
to
survive from these two suns. And Ben's just out there dry. And he's walking with his really stylish goggles just
on his
neck.
Yeah, his nice orange goggles around his neck. Not even over his eyes.
He doesn't have any sun rash or anything.
He's just perfectly coiffed. Yeah.
Good
it's
for
pretty
him.
Strange. So... Anyway, we are Bantamilk.
That's what they tell us. And we're here today to discuss the ultimate episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, do you have yourself some Bantamilk?
I do. I had the same Bantamilk we had last time, which is the Little Dog Duck Boy American Pale
Ale. Oh, that was good. I liked that.
It was good. Yeah, I really liked
crack.
It. There we go.
Ooh, you had a little. There you go. That's how you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I had a gig last night. And the one thing I've learned at gigs is I don't make enough money to buy drinks at them.
Okay.
So I bring my flask.
I understand.
So I just happened to have that on me. So I've still got some of my bullet from last night. Nice. From my gig. So cheers to you, my friend. As we go ahead and head into this very interesting episode. It was an awesome episode. I mean, I know
it was
do you have any Star Wars news we got to talk about?
I didn't even look up any Star
Wars news.
Actually,
you know what?
Sure,
before we get into the review, I did want to mention. So my buddy Dan, who I went to college with, sent me this theory that I guess he found it online, and I really like it. So I just wanted to swing it your way and you tell me, right? So Luke is a total rookie in episode 5, right? In Empire Strikes Back.
Correct.
Right? And he goes and he trains for like a week with Yoda.
Right.
Right? And then he goes and gets his ass handed to him by
Vader. Yes,
by
Vader, sure.
Then in episode 6 he returns as like a superstar, like Chad Mega Jedi, and he's like going toe-to-toe with him, right?
Right.
So we know that, like, he had to do some training between, and we know that because he created his lightsaber, right? So there was some sort of training that happened between.
Yes.
So who trained him?
Who trained him? Good question.
So, like, sure, he could have found some holocrons, which is, I think, something that has been mentioned. But don't you think it would make sense for, like, another Force user out there to train him in the Force, someone who might be really, who might know Anakin really well and his fighting style, and be able to help him fight specifically Darth Vader,
like a girl with Leekus or
Leeku
something.
Off her head.
Yeah.
So yeah, his theory is that maybe, you know, Ahsoka found Anakin in this time, or Luke in this time,
sure,
and helped train him up. Because when they meet again in Mandalorian, they're not strangers. You know, they clearly have a knowledge of each other.
Yes. I like that theory.
I think that's a pretty good theory. I like that theory a lot because it makes, number one, total sense that she knows Anakin. She knows him better than Luke does.
Mm-hmm.
She is more uniquely qualified to teach him to defend himself against him than anyone.
Sure, yeah.
Do
you think that's a better theory than we're going to act like we don't know each other anymore, so if you ever need me, call me, but act like you don't know me theory?
Yeah, that was a little weird. Right? Like, you mustn't tell anyone.
Don't. It was almost like dropping her off out of the white van. Okay, now don't tell anybody what we did in here. This is our secret.
Oh, man. Well, so, I guess that explains. That's their way of explaining the way she acts towards him in A New Hope, I guess.
A New Hope, yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was great, the episode.
Yeah,
it was really
I
awesome.
Agree.
I loved it. I have some issues.
Okay.
Not with necessarily content, but anyway, let's just get into it.
Let's get into it. Yeah.
Here's your warning, right? If you want to get our
warning
sirens
right
ready,
now.
There'll be spoilers coming here. So if you have not seen the last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi, go do it.
Go do it. While we take this commercial break, go watch the last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi and then come back with us.
I bought 6 of those last week.
Nice.
Yeah, they're all in my living room, and they work great.
They work awesome. Yeah. I'm very proud. Because
my pregnant wife especially likes them.
Good.
Because they're masculine yet feminine.
Yes.
And I think that they...
Yeah,
and
it's good decor.
Yeah, they pull the room together.
Yeah, it's good to have around the house. Yeah, I agree.
Anyway,
even though it's insurance for your RV.
Hey, I love having insurance for my RV. just on the wall.
Just
sitting on the shelf.
Every letter that comes in,
that's
just
it.
Frame
there
it and
it
hang
is.
It up. All right, so let's get started. First off, we had ourselves a hillbilly.
A hillbilly.
He was there for no reason other than to show off that Reva is on the planet.
Yep, they needed someone big and mean and ugly that people are afraid of.
And I was busy, so...
Yeah, and Rob had a thing.
Yeah, I had a thing.
So they found a big, ugly, weird-eyed looking dude,
mm-hmm,
who looked like he, you know, was a redneck of some sort. And then Reva walked... He was angry and mean, and people were afraid of him. Oh my gosh, he's gonna kill us. And then here comes this like, really... like shambling in looking gal, she's like holding her wound, and all of a sudden he's like, oh boy.
He's like, what are you gonna do? She force swipes the cup of water out of his hand.
Yeah.
She says, that's what I'm gonna do.
And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
You explained your point clearly, and I appreciate you enlightening me.
Yes, and in my opinion, then came the worst, I would say second worst acting of the episode.
Okay.
where's a farmer named Owen? I need to see him. Yeah. I mean, I understand she's playing this I'm angry type character. I don't like the way she's playing this angry type character. I don't know. It's just me. And we talked about it last week. We talked about all the hate that she was getting. But I think as the season has gone on, I'm seeing more and more of it. Like, I would have played it differently. Then again, I'm not a professional actor, and I'm not getting paid to do it. This is how they told her to play it, so this is how she's playing it. But I wasn't fond of the way she delivered those lines. I understand the purpose, and now we see why she's going after Luke.
Right.
It wasn't just because she knew that Luke was the answer. It's because she wanted to kill somebody that she thought Anakin cared about because Anakin killed all of her friends.
Right. Which, I wonder what would have happened. Like, if she had gone back to Vader and actually killed Luke and, like, said, hey, man, you had a kid, by the way.
By the way.
And he's dead.
And he's dead, and I killed him.
I wonder what, I mean, it would have been interesting.
It would have been interesting. I think there would have been a force choke or two in there.
Yeah, and I think that, I don't know, because that would have been, I mean... We're postulating theories on an imaginary thing.
Because this, I don't know if you know this or not, but this character, Luke, that we speak of, is the main character for the next six episodes.
Yeah. Well, three. And then, like, you know, then there's the other three where they're like, hey, here's Luke. Come get him. come on.
You want to see Luke? Okay, we're just going to show you this much of him.
Which is exactly what they did in this series, too.
Yes, that is exactly what they did.
Oh, boy. So Reva's on Tatooine.
Yeah.
She's angry. She's looking for Owen and Beru. And Owen and Beru are apparently as ride or die as it comes.
They sure are.
They strap up, and they're like, don't mess with farmers.
Which is
true, man. Like, we were driving out through Atco the other day, and there's this blueberry stand.
Okay.
And it's just blueberries for like $5, and there's no one sitting there. And Pagan's like, what is it, the honor system? And I'm like, listen, you don't mess with a farmer.
Nope.
Like, I'm not going to go there and try and take a thing of blueberries. Nope. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're strapping.
Yep.
You don't mess with farmers.
Yeah, farmers have shotguns, or in this case, laser rifles.
And I think one of them was a laser shotgun.
Yeah, it was like a sawed-off laser.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
But yeah, no, they got ready to defend. They told Luke to skedaddle.
They said and I like how they hid what was happening. They said, you know, the Tuskens
are coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So which is interesting because, like, you know, I guess at this point Luke has no idea. But, you know, Luke did see this girl with her lightsaber, right?
No.
Eventually? No, he didn't?
He didn't. Okay. Because he was running away the whole time. He never looked back.
Interesting.
I'm confused as to how he... Did he fall and hit his head?
I think so. I think he fell off that... It was kind of a weird little...
Yeah, it was like, did he fall or did he take a nap? I'm like, he got tired, he was running. Oh, I'm tired, I need to take a nap.
Listen, man, it's Tatooine.
It's Tatooine.
It might be night, but it's still hot.
It's still hot, yeah. But nobody sweats.
Nobody.
And then we go cut scene to Leia on the ship. And they're still trying to escape. They're trying to get away. Darth Vader's mega ship is shooting at him. And even the mega ship can't hit as well as the stormtroopers are horrible at shooting as well.
They were bobbing and weaving at least.
They were. So a little bit of that. And
how do you dodge a wrench? If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a laser shot.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, why send TIE fighters after them, or why jump in your little? I don't know what his TIE fighter is called, but whatever.
I think that was a TIE interceptor.
TIE interceptor. Why do that when you can just
or
keep shooting?
Or TIE advanced? Maybe it was a TIE interceptor. Anyway.
When you can just keep shooting from afar and whatever.
Yep.
But
that wouldn't let Obi-Wan have all that time to think about his choices.
Right. Right. And Leia console people. She's there.
Being a leader.
It's still bright white. Her clothes are still bright white.
White as hope. That's the imagery they're going for.
That is.
Leia always wore that bright white and... That's that hopeful brightness. I don't know. That's my guess.
And it works for me. And then I did like, what's his name? Where's my mouse? They're talking, Ben's talking, whatever. Ben's talking. And then we see Owen and Luke, and now they're shopping.
Yeah. I was convinced that, like, at some point, Luke was going to hop in his T-16.
Okay.
And, like, come in and save the day when he ran away.
Okay.
And that, like, that's why. They went to the parts store, and I'm like, oh, they went to the parts store. There was something. He was there for a speeder thing.
Right.
They mentioned the speeder. We're going to see the T. But clearly, since, like, I don't know, we see that Obi-Wan is the one who gives Luke that T-16 figurine that he's playing with.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he got it after that?
I don't know.
Either way, I was bummed we didn't see Luke come in and swoop in on his T-16 and target her like a womp rat. Bullseye her like a womp rat.
So we didn't... And it was like... It was just a scene of them shopping to get the guy who...
Who got
Reva threatened. Yeah, to tell Owen that she's coming for him.
This episode had a big problem with time. Like the portrayal of time.
Yes.
Bill was loudly postulating about that to me, which I agree. Like, especially at the end, like, hey, I'm fighting Vader, and then 10 minutes later, I'm just going to pop off a Tatooine.
Yeah.
Like, I try and tell myself that maybe, like, you know, all this stuff was actually happening at different times, and it just wound up this way, but I feel like they could have portrayed it in a way that made more sense,
because
like...
Right, because like there was the double fight scene at the same time.
Yeah, they were... Reva was fighting Owen and Beru and Luke, and then Ben was fighting Vader, and then the Vader fight ended, and he hopped in his plane, and he flew to Tatooine and helped this fight.
Yeah.
So it just... I'm sure that wasn't
actually
how the time... And
that was a long fight,
that's actually how it...
Even jumping the light speed... It still takes time to get there.
And Tatooine's in the Outer Rim, man.
Yeah.
Like,
so he went very much. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm gonna go and hope that like they just didn't do a great job. Like they what they should have done, which is what Bill mentioned, is that like the Vader scene should have happened.
Right.
Then, you know, it could have been like a couple weeks later, however long later, Reva shows up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But instead of having them all show up at the same time in the show, like. Back to back, Reva's there, Darth is there. Boom, boom, boom.
Right.
Fight at the same time.
Makes for a nice.
Yeah, nice. Right. Yeah.
Either way. Leia, ship. Ben's like, oh, I gotta do some stuff. Who's the guy who's like, no, don't do it, man. He's Ice Cube's son.
Roken.
Yeah, Roken. And
Obi-Wan tries to talk to Qui-Gon again. Still can't get to it. And then he talks to Roken. And I like Roken.
Yeah.
I like his character.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a Roken spinoff if we're going to do all these shows, or maybe we'll see him.
Yeah, my guess is we're going to see him again because he literally said, I'm just getting started.
Right.
And you figure this is, I think, 5 or 7 years before Rogue One, or Solo.
Okay.
And Solo is with Enfys Nest and when like the rumblings of the rebellion are just kind of starting. So like... This is still a couple of years out, even from like the actual like rebellion really even starting.
Right.
So
will we see him in what's the next show that's coming?
Andor. We might see him in Andor because Andor might be taking place around this time.
Yeah, it could be taking place.
So I could definitely see him showing up in Andor.
Okay, good, because I liked him. He was a good character.
Yeah.
They made him out to be a big leader.
Mm-hmm.
So why make him out to be this big leader if we're not going to see him again?
Right.
So, yeah, so that's pretty cool. And then...
So I guess what? Ben jumps in his ship and flies down to the ground, right? And
yeah, Ben says, I'm taking him away, let's do this.
Throws off his glove.
Yeah.
Vader pops down and they have like a redo of the very first conversation they had on Mustafar.
Yeah.
Because he walks on up and he goes, have you come to destroy me? Which, on Mustafar, he said, have you come to kill me?
Right.
And then Obi-Wan... in like a really rad, freaking like angry tone. I will do what I must.
Which is what
he said.
Yes.
And then he gets in his typical Obi-Wan stance, to which Vader responds, instead of you will try, he responds, then you will die.
Right.
So it was just a really interesting sort of mirroring of that initial fight. And then, that's a fight.
It was a fight. And it was a very emotional fight, too.
Yeah.
Because... The dialogue throughout the fight is what makes it even more, because just like Darth Vader breathing, Darth Vader's actions, then they're doing a lot of similar moves that we saw in previous episodes, right. and also in the flashbacks,
right.
in Kenobi as, mm-hmm. well. So a lot of that going on. So we see their, you know, the fighting styles, and Obi-Wan talking to Anakin about, you know, trying to get him to understand that he's angry for no reason type of thing and whatever. Then it starts flipping back and forth,
mm-hmm.
which was pretty cool, because then we see some of Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, then suddenly we see Reva show up and her red lightsaber come out.
Right.
That's when you said, you know, Luke runs away, so he never actually sees her. And then that's when Owen and, what's her name?
Beru
start shooting at her. The house. So there's a lot of, like, Easter eggs about, oh, this is the room where we first meet Obi-Wan, or we first meet Luke. This is the room where Anakin says that, I killed all the Tuskens,
right.
and the wives and
the Lars homestead.
At the Lars homestead. And I'm like, yeah, because it's all the same house.
Yeah,
so, of course, it's going to be the same room.
Not so much an Easter egg as just keeping attention to detail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Like, so I wonder if those props are the same props from 77, if they put them in a box then and said, you know, we're going to use this again, or if when they did episode 2, if they just were
remade.
Like, okay, they remade them then, and then they said, okay, we're not,
like,
going to keep remaking these every time.
Because you can revisit the Lars homestead, like, in Tunisia, right? It's,
mm-hmm.
still set up there,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So clearly, like, they had to have reset. I doubt they went to Tunisia to film any of this.
To film any of this, no.
Probably on the,
yeah.
volume, or whatever they call it, at their studio.
Also in the fight with Reva, Owen falls down, lands on that box, and,
mm-hmm.
hurts his leg, which somebody pointed out is why you see him
with a limp
10
yeah.
years later. But other people have back the tanks, so farmers can't afford to go. He must have bad insurance.
I mean, if they're farming for water, they probably don't even have enough moisture to make Bacta, you know what,
right.
I mean? Like,
yeah.
Who knows? And, you know, they're at the Outer Rim. Maybe it's hard to ship Bacta in,
maybe.
If they don't have,
yeah.
enough money. I mean, sure, Boba Fett could do it, but he was a crime lord.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Who knows?
Who
Either
knows?
Way.
And
then
let me go back to the Obi-Wan fight. And,
yeah.
Anakin is obsessed with proving himself,
oh, yeah.
to Obi-Wan, constantly trying to prove that he's better than Obi-Wan.
Yeah, and the choreography of the fight is rad. Like, he does start out where it's the classic Vader one-hand thing, but eventually,
yeah.
he shifts to two hands,
uh-huh.
and I'm like, oh,
yeah.
that's different. Right?
Yeah, it's as he gets angrier, you can also see him, like, swinging harder,
yeah.
because he's angrier.
Mm-hmm. And that's a dark side thing, right? Like,
yeah.
the emotions are supposed to feel you, but that also clouds your judgment sometimes. It was awesome seeing how acrobatic it was. Like, you finally got to see an Obi-Wan Darth Vader fight where they're like, okay, these two are badasses.
Yeah.
And, like, Vader is, like, doing... It must have been so hard for... I guess that's Hayden Christensen in that costume, but, man, it must have been hard to do all that stuff.
With that helmet on.
And
all the plastic,
the
cape and
the
everything.
The cape looked so rad the entire fight. It was perfect. Like, every,
yeah.
time he did a thing, the cape moved perfectly. That had to have been very difficult to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure if there's a behind the scenes next week, I'm sure we're going to see that the whole cape was CGI'd or something,
yeah.
because it was flowing too perfectly
it
the
really
whole
was.
Time.
But they also expanded on some of the force, like, powers they,
mm-hmm.
used, because, like,
yeah.
you know, Obi-Wan, like, pulls the thing down when Anakin is like, oh, your power's returned. But then, like, number one, as he, like, pushes that huge rocket,
yeah.
and flies.
Yeah.
And then the whole, like, ground,
uh-huh.
clamp thing where he, like, makes the ground just kind of
sinkhole
underneath
in,
him.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen that. That's rad.
No,
that's,
yeah.
And I want more of that. I want to see how the Force can be used in different ways.
Right.
And then he just starts taking stuff and just slamming
just
on
Just slamming
I don't
rock.
Like you.
Yeah.
You're a jerk. This is just for it. This is for that. And this is for that. And I was just so hoping you'd get, like, a high ground reference.
He was standing up there.
I was like, come on, man.
It, like,
it's been 10 years. You've been waiting for this moment.
Uh-huh.
You can't say anything about the high ground?
Of all the Easter eggs and all the things that they've done and all the multiple lines, like, Luke in this, he said, I'm not afraid of him. When,
right.
talking about, you know, the Tuskens, which is the same thing he said in episode 6, I'm not afraid of him and Vader. And Obi-Wan said the same line that he said in episode 2. And Like, they reuse so many of the lines. Why couldn't they reuse who has the higher ground now and like, give the two middle fingers or something like that?
And they already set Vader up to be kind of a sarcastic jerk. Because, like, people complained about that line from Rogue One, where, like, Krennic is like, oh, so I'm under... And then...
Yeah.
And he's like, be sure not to choke on your aspirations. So, like, he's kind of a sarcastic idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would have been a perfect little...
It would have been a perfect line, like, who has the higher ground now? And then one more rock.
Yeah, right?
You know, like...
But no, he just gave a little...
Yeah.
Did you really think you could do me?
Uh-huh.
And then something like, you failed my master.
Yeah.
And then we get, like, this, you know, this... kind of shot of, you know, Ben is thinking about all the bad things, so he's gonna die, but oh gosh, the shot of good, here's Leia,
yep.
And there's Luke, and this is what I'm fighting for, and oh my gosh,
and then he
flies away.
And it was cool, it was like that, almost like a Thor-type moment, like a God-type moment, where he's like,
yeah.
Oh, and all the rocks are up behind him, and it was like...
So I guess he blew him away first, then he like snuck up on him and started
yeah.
the duel again.
Yeah.
And then, like, that was, you're right, because, like, at a certain point he just started, like, heaving stuff at him, and then up like this.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those, like, yeah, we've seen them make rocks float before, but
right.
not like this.
Not,
you know what
not,
I mean? Not in
yeah.
that, like, thousands of, like, this was a very clearly, that, holy crap, that's a Jedi Master.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This
yeah.
dude... is more powerful than most of the people we've seen. And you just have it, and you can see it too, because he's throwing it all at him. Vader's like trying to block them all. And he's walking slowly towards him as he does it.
Right.
Which is, it's just so rad to see, like, he's doing it and then he like goes into the fight. But as soon as like he started beating on his like his chest thing,
yeah,
or whatever.
His respirator.
I knew exactly. Because
uh-huh.
they do this in every single thing where Vader, they need an emotional moment. I'm like, they're going to slice that helmet open.
Yeah.
We're going to see part of Anakin's face, guaranteed.
Yeah.
I knew from the moment he hit that, because, like, we had to have that same emotional impact in real life as
right.
we did
that,
with the Ahsoka battle and the Rebels.
It. Yeah.
And sure enough, he does his running freaking slice.
Yeah.
And we see Anakin in it, and it is the coolest freaking thing. You
know? Yeah.
It's so cool. They did it so well.
Yes.
And it was just, like, the
and
emotion...
Even, like, when he started beating on the respirator, and you start hearing the wheezing.
Dude, not only the wheezing, because the wheezing is the same wheezing from, like, episode 6.
Right.
But, like, when he slices his helmet open, you hear that, plus you hear the same screaming, like, wheezing that you hear when he's burning on Mustafar.
Uh-huh.
Like, it... And
yeah.
it's like, oh my gosh, that's Anakin. Like,
and there's a little bit of... A little bit of Darth Vader voice in there still, because some of the, you know, voice box modulator is there.
Which is awesome, too, because it proves that, like, hey, that big, deep voice is put in there on purpose for
mm-hmm.
intimidation, right? Like,
And then there's the Anakin voice behind it,
mm-hmm.
and then that big moment when he's like, when Obi-Wan's like, I'm sorry that I did this, like,
right.
you know, I shouldn't have done this, blah, 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 you know. And then he says,
I'm not your failure.
Yeah, you didn't do this.
I did this. You didn't kill Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah,
I did. And the red comes back, like his
yeah,
eyes
the
change
blue,
color.
Yeah, uh-huh. And the blue lightsaber, like, glow fades away,
and
then
the
red lightsaber glow is
and
there.
And if you really look at Anakin's face, he looks deranged.
Uh-huh.
Like, when
yes.
he starts saying that, he grins a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's so cool that they showed that, because it's like, like, that's the dark side, right?
Yep.
That's what it does. Like, that's
mm-hmm.
the point of, like, the dark side of the Force. It twists you and it messes you up.
Yeah.
And they show it very clearly there. Like, there was a moment, probably, where Anakin was in the back, like, fighting.
Yes.
And you saw that, and then he made his choice.
And also, when going back to the cut, when he cut the mask open,
mm-hmm.
he scarred his head, which is
yeah,
why
which is,
you see the scar later.
Yeah, it was an Easter egg that I saw someone mention. I didn't even put that
and
together.
And back to your eyebrow situation... In this, he doesn't have eyebrows.
Nope.
So apparently, back to tanks grow eyebrows very well. He can't grow hair anywhere else, but it'll grow his eyebrows back.
Amazing.
Until George Lucas goes back and re-edits them back out again.
Shaves them out again.
but yeah, and then the greatest line of the whole fight is when Obi-Wan says, he calls him Darth.
Darth, yep.
And it's like, at that point, he knows... Anakin's gone.
Yep.
That's it. Anakin's gone. You're Darth Vader.
And
I did all I could, and now I'm done. I had nothing else that I can do to try and save you because you have completely turned to the dark side.
Yep.
And he just walks away.
And he used the term, I love it too, because like there's, in you know, Star Wars fandom, there's always selfie people, and they've always been like, oh, why do you call him Darth? Darth isn't a name. Darth right. is a title. And they kind of retconned it so that, like, you know, it was just gone. But, like, this was, like, very, like, hey, this isn't Anakin anymore. I'm going to call you Darth.
Yeah.
Like, he was almost using it, like as a mocking title.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But it's the same thing that Obi-Wan called him in Episode 4. Yeah. He called him Darth then as well.
And that explains why he does it.
Yeah.
And it almost makes it, like I said, like he's mocking him.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, yeah. Darth, all right, Darth.
I'll call you
yeah.
Darth.
Fine. And I'm not going to call you Vader.
And
because
Vader would be a sign of respect. That's his name.
Right, that's his name. I'm going to call you Darth. I'm just going to call you by the first half of it instead.
Yep.
So, yeah. So that was really, really cool.
Yeah. And so the ending is where I get a little bit of my, like, kind of bummed outness.
Right. So... So then at the end of the fight,
He screams, Obi-Wan.
Yeah, right? Obi-Wan, come back here, type of thing. And he just keeps walking away. I'm done trying to reach out to him. Obi-Wan leaves him. Oh, Obi-Wan leaves him because if he doesn't,
then we're done.
Then it messes everything else up.
He could have killed him there, but
He couldn't. But he couldn't because we need him in all the next episodes, in the movies.
I was saying that to Pagan like the whole time, like we were like when Luke was running, I'm like, man, I hope Luke makes it.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't it suck if Luke didn't make it and Reva killed him?
And there was even a line that Obi-Wan said to Leia. He said, I think it was to Leia. He said something like, either I'm going to kill him or he's going to kill me, but at least it's going to be done. And I'm like,
No, it won't.
It
really
like,
won't, man.
It can't happen that way because you're both still alive. Yep. So I thought that was funny. Then we go back on Tat. Reva finds
later.
Luke. 10 minutes later.
10 minutes later, Obi-Wan finds himself on Tatooine.
Yeah, this is the part that I see.
Brush the dust off.
Yeah, brush
bit.
It. He's like, oh, man, I just flew here, and boy, are my arms tired. And then she's like, I failed him. She's so broken that she feels that she failed Darth Vader because he has, like, mind messed with her so much the way that they do to their Inquisitors.
Right.
That she, doing the right thing, she feels she's doing the wrong thing.
Right.
But
then she, like, again, I knew that she was going to turn. Like, it just seemed too obvious to me that, like, there are too many bad guys.
Right.
And we know that the main bad guy's not turning good.
Yes.
So, like, something had to happen.
Yeah.
And like, the fact that, like, I don't know, it just seemed like between their relationship, Kenobi and her, whatever it might have been, probably nothing, but she knew who she was.
Yeah.
It seemed too convenient to have her, like, turn back. So I think that's one thing we're going to see in the second season is Reva doing some stuff.
Right.
But like she said, like, did I become him? And, like, he was like, no, you distinctly didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
You chose not to.
And that's the thing.
You chose not to kill this kid,
right.
Just like he killed all of your friends. So that would be the opposite
right.
of what he is. Yeah.
So kudos to you, Reva.
Yeah.
You did a good thing.
And then we see, you know, the Tatooine lightsaber graveyard that we talked about earlier.
Yes, just left it there.
Just left it there. It'll be fine. Some sandal
some Jawa will probably find it and sell it.
Can you imagine the Jawa ship that has all of the
lightsabers?
You've
got a whole room of lightsabers just hanging on the walls. Love
so
it.
Funny. And then we see Darth on his palace on Mustafar.
Yeah, he's upset. He's talking to the Emperor. I mean, we knew we'd get a little
cameo there.
We knew
we'd see the Emperor, so that was pretty cool. So I did a deep dive because I was wondering, this palace, like, is he there by himself? What does he do all day? Does he just stare at the lava and
we
just
know
be,
there's
like,
at least
angry?
One other dude there, right? Because when in Rebels there was like a Sith acolyte or whatever who was tending to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably has some helpers and stuff.
Yeah. So this is, it's called Fortress Vader,
mm-hmm.
also known as Darth Vader's Castle. Was a stronghold located on the volcanic world of Mustafar. We knew that. Once the site of the Sith temple, the fortress was built above a Sith cave that still remains, as well as the ancient Korvax fortress located underneath. So, according to the comic books, this was designed to get create the fortress blueprints, forces to channel the force in energies from the dark side located under the castle and open the doors to the dark side.
Mm-hmm.
The Sith Lord Darth Vader allowed Momin's design to be built using Imperial resources in his possession. Although Vader failed to open the door with his first design, after a trial and error process involving 8 more designs, a perfect design was finally built with the knife. It was able to open the door to the dark side, but when Vader was distracted by a Mustafarian uprising, which I didn't even know there were Mustafarians living on this volcanic planet.
Almost like the heat.
The heat, yeah. Mormon opened him for himself and resurrected his original body. So there were 9 think, of these castles.
Is that
castles.
From the Dr. Aphra comics?
This is, it just...
I think it's from
I just know it's
there's
in
a
the comics.
Dr. Aphra series of comics where
okay.
I think they go into the Fortress Vader and they talk about this Sith Lord that like is resurrected and stuff down.
Okay.
So, probably from those. So I haven't gotten a chance to read them yet, but I hear they're really good, the Dr. Aphra series.
Yeah.
So he's there, he's complaining to the Emperor, he's like, I'm gonna get him, and the Emperor's like, you seem a little messed up, right?
Yeah, he's like, your mind, you're thinking of the wrong things right now. Once again, he's yelling at him basically. He's like telling him, stop it, stop being emotional, chill bro. And that's where the episode ended.
That's it.
It should have.
Should have.
I mean, that would have been a perfect ending.
Yeah. I mentioned the Qui-Gon thing, and I knew it was coming. And I just think, like, it bummed me out, because they build this as a limited series, and I came to peace with the fact that it was a limited series.
Right.
It's very clearly going to a season 2.
Right.
Very clearly.
Yes.
And I think that hamstrung some of what they, the cool stuff they could have done. Now, I'm always happy to see more Obi-Wan Kenobi and get more of that. It just seems like some of the stuff, like the Qui-Gon thing was just such like a silly little, oh, you're here.
Yeah.
Let's get working.
It's like, oh, you're finally at peace. Now you can see me.
Yeah. It just seemed, again, it seemed like a couple things were, I don't know, a couple things could have been cooler if they decided to leave this at a 6-episode arc.
Right.
I know at the beginning I was like, oh man, I want them to do more, and I still will love more Obi-Wan, but like, if this was a 6-episode arc and this was the end on this, I think that it could have been a more impactful thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know.
Right.
We did get to see Obi-Wan say hello there.
Hello
so
there.
We got that going,
yeah, he did say that one more time.
That was so very clearly like, hey fans, are you paying attention?
Are you paying
get
attention?
Get ready, here it comes.
Here it comes. I said this in 2 other movies, so I'm going to say it again now. Yeah, so after we see Darth Vader, then Obi-Wan, we see Leia playing dress up. She's getting all ready.
She got her new little holster she's putting on with no gun in it.
No gun in her holster, which was a funny callback to when he was like, when he gave her the holster and she's like, well, where's the blaster? He goes, you're 10.
You're 10, I'm not giving you a gun.
So that was pretty funny. And she did her own...
Their relationship was pretty rad.
Yeah.
I liked their chemistry, those Ewan McGregor and whatever actor played Leia.
Played Leia. Which, I want to go back to, well, at the very end when we meet Luke.
Do you think season 2 will be a Luke season?
Probably not.
No, no.
Because now we see at the end of season 1, he moves further away because now he knows that the Force will take care of things and Owen's got it and whatever. So Leia gets dressed up in her white gown, her white dress, but then she puts on her work boots and she has fingerless gloves.
All the way up to her thighs.
Yeah, all the way up to her thighs. Yep. She puts on these fingerless gloves and then the holster.
Yep.
And her mom comes in and goes, oh.
That seems bad, right?
And in a good mom fashion, she's like, cool, good luck.
Looks good,
come on. And then it was cute. She's like, who are we meeting now? Like, another cousin or something? And they were like, no. And then out comes Lola. And she's like, oh my gosh, Lola.
Lola's back.
Already forgot about Ben. Yeah. Oh wait, Ben's here too. But I got Lola back. And it was neat how Lola fit nicely into that gun holster.
Yeah,
sure. So Lola's there with her. That's when Ben says the line, like, we should never talk about this. Don't tell anybody that we know each other. If you listen to just that one line, 40-year-old man tells little girl, "Don't tell anybody that we know." It's a little creepy.
Yeah, you don't want anyone around when you say that. Oh, Ben.
And then Ben's packing up his stuff, and now he's back on Tatooine again, just like that.
And he's on his what's the
EOP. He's on his EOP.
He's got his fashionable snowboarder goggles.
Yep.
His hair is coiffed. He does have some really good fashion.
He does have good fashion. Yeah,
he looks great. He goes up to Owen, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'm leaving.
I'm leaving.
It's all you now.
You got it. You don't need me. You don't need me creepily staring at your adopted child here."
To which Owen goes, "Are you sure?
Are you sure? If you want to stay, you can stay.
I think you should stay, man. Here, want to meet him?
Want to meet the kid?" And then the kid's like, the kid just like standing there.
Hi. He doesn't say a word, he's looking at him.
Doesn't say a word. So my question is, does Star Wars, if you want your kid to be in a Star Wars movie, make sure they are the first one in line for audition day. Because apparently they just take the first kid.
You.
Boom. You? Good.
You got a Luke look about you. Let's go.
There you go. Let's go. Which, he was wearing the exact same outfit he was wearing when he's 18.
I can't imagine they have a lot of cloth ears on Tatooine.
No.
Probably have like a clothes store, and it's like, you got like three options. The white jumpsuit, the blue jumpsuit, the orange jumpsuit. I'll take the white one. It's hot on Tatooine.
I want
as much, you know, reflecting off me as possible. That's my theory.
So I was like, okay, I get the, you know, the Easter egg reference to, hey, this is Luke's outfit, but it's not a cartoon. It's not The Simpsons.
They can wear different clothes.
Like, you can put on something else.
Apparently not.
So that
they had the budget for it.
They
had the original costume and it got shrunk in the wash.
That's what happened. The Levi's shrunk. And then Owen brings him the T-15 Skyhopper that he was playing with, or T-16, whatever it was. T-16. And Owen's like, "Here, I got you a toy.
Hello there, son. Here, young child who I've never met. Here's a toy. Let us go on adventures together.
And I hope you play with it for the next 8 years of your life.
Don't scare anybody."
We never met.
You want some candy? Oh, Ben.
Help me find my EOP. I can't find my EOP. It was around here somewhere.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Anyway.
And then we see Qui-Gon, like you said. And
it's literally just, "Hey, you're here. I've been here all along. Let's go. Which is like, lame.
And man, I mean, I get the fact that he had to be cleansed of all of his hatred and anger for him to be able to use the Force that way. And Qui-Gon apparently was one of the Jedi who was really trying to aspire to using the Ghost Force.
So he was all into the Living Force.
Yes,
was like his
Living
big
Force.
Thing. Which is why I guess he was the one who figured out, you know, the coming back and being one with the Force sort of a thing. But yeah, I mean, that's one of those moments where, like, that could have been a really awesome moment where they used him in the fight.
Right.
But because they decided to do a season two, they kind of used him as, like, a pivot point in the second season.
As a, hey, here's Qui-Gon so that we can go into season two. You're going to follow this ghost through the desert with no name. So.
Said it's good to be out in the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name. There ain't no one for two.
I don't know the rest of the words.
No. Anyway, and that's the end of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That was
season
it.
Season one.
Yes.
And
since
here
now.
We are on the other side of it. I hope they release an extended version of the entire thing uncut.
Okay.
I think that'd be pretty rad. I thought it was awesome.
Like the...
Had my issues with it, but I thought it was awesome.
Like the... what was the... DC. What was his name?
Not the Avengers, the other one.
Yeah, the...
The DC Avengers.
The DC Avengers. The
Justice League.
Justice League, the guy's cut of the Justice League.
Snyder cut.
Yes.
That's the one.
So I liked it. I liked... They did wrap it up nicely where, you know, throughout the 6 weeks or 5 weeks, everybody was going, how is Leia not going to know that she remembers this guy type of thing and whatever? So... They tried to do their best to wrap that up, and they introduced Luke to him just enough so that Luke does know. Wait, that old hermit guy, Ben?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, So they did do that, and we did see a lot of good Obi-Wan action in John Jackson Miller's view. Obi-Wan never did pull out his lightsaber while he was on Tatooine.
Right.
He just buried it a lot, and so that was pretty cool. So yeah. I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was fun. I know that there's, you know, everybody's a cynic. Everybody in Star Wars land hates everything Star Wars that wasn't done by George Lucas.
And, so. You know, we're Star Wars podcasters, so it's kind of our job to point out the silly things.
Yeah.
And the ridiculous things. But, you know, we can do that while still saying, I thought it was great, and I want more of it. More exactly stuff like this. It was awesome Star Wars. It was just good content. It was new. It was different. It was interesting. Expanded on people. It focused on relationships that we cared about.
You know, yeah.
The Anakin-Obi-Wan relationship is one that is important.
Right, and it was fun seeing how they were both trying to hold on to that relationship and at the same time finally, like, realizing, like, this isn't going to happen anymore, so we're done. So it was like that, you know, you cut my helmet in half and we're going to break up type of thing. So
That's fair. If someone cut my helmet in half, I'd say we need to revisit our relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that 100%. It's just the way it is. Now, one thing I was thinking, when he's throwing all the rocks at Darth Vader, he was doing a good job. Maybe it was the Force and not really the armor that was doing it, but...
Sure.
If he was throwing rocks like that at a stormtrooper, they would have been flying backwards.
Yeah, I mean, he was keeping his composure. He was standing upright still. Yeah. I mean, he was doing a little bit of this, but, you know. I'd imagine the mechanical legs helped. They anchored you a little bit.
They anchored you a little bit, yeah.
Maybe they're, like, on the bottom. We don't know. Maybe the bottom of the shoe
so
has,
do you,
like, a clamp.
Do you...
just kind of...
a bolt that just goes down into the ground.
In case a Force user starts throwing a bunch of stones at you.
Yeah. So do you think the armor of Darth Vader's suit is the same degree of armor as a Stormtrooper would? Or do you think they give the Stormtroopers the cheap stuff and Darth Vader...
I think Vader's probably got the good stuff.
He's got the good stuff.
Now, the big question is, do you think that Vader just has, like, a closet full of those things?
Yeah, and especially, like, the helmets, because now this is the second time we've seen his helmet get cut in half.
At the very least.
Like,
yeah,
he's got to have another one.
He's got a backup, right?
Yeah, do you think he has a backup on a ship, or do you think he has to fly all the way back to Mustafar to get another one?
Oh, God, I would hope on a ship.
Yeah.
Because he's got his little meditation chamber in there, right?
True, okay. Right. Yeah, so there we go.
But he does have that really uncomfortable walk back to his ship.
He does.
Where he's like... Got his inhaler.
His inhaler.
Albuterol.
He's holding his breath as long as he can before taking another breath.
Yeah.
So that was that. So that was Kenobi Episode 6, our version, our breakdown of it.
Yeah, the next thing we got coming, I guess, is Andor.
Andor.
Right, so we might have like a little hiatus here, because Rob is going to Disney.
I'm going to Disney, so you can find me in Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, go to Galaxy's Edge next week and find Rob. If you find Rob... you win the prize.
You do win the prize.
The prize.
The prize. I'll have a Sharpie and I'll sign your autograph book.
Or
your face, right next to Goofy's signature.
Love it.
Love it.
So it might be a couple weeks before we're back, but we will definitely be back soon, and we definitely have more to talk about with Andor coming, and we got a lot coming this year. So it's going to be a good time, man.
It will be a good time. It will be a very good time.
All right. So from all of us here at Bantha Milk Podcast Headquarters, we have spoken.
We have spoken.